Or call Reno directly at 888-255-1831. That's 888-255-1831.
Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Produced by Ave Maria Radio and broadcast through the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tamio.
And it's a Thursday morning, January 8, 2015. Good to be with you. Appreciate all your support for the network and the work that we do, especially leading into the big March for Life coverage, actually 2 weeks from today, Lord willing. And we are in the midst of gathering contact information from you and story ideas. And I received from the network yesterday the rundown for the rally, which looks really great. And, of course, lots of wonderful speakers, including Jeannie Monahan from the March for Life, Kristen Hawkins from Students of Life for America, and, of course, Representative Chris Smith, who's such a staunch pro-life advocate in the U.S. House and has been for many years. So it's going to be an exciting day. And then before that, if you go to marchforlife.org, there's going to be all kinds of other special events. And, of course, after the march in the evening, there's the Rose Dinner. And the interesting thing this year is that they're moving the actual headquarters of the march to a completely different location, a new hotel and convention center in D.C. All the information at marchforlife.org. And Jeannie Monahan is actually, I believe, down in Birmingham this week doing some interviews on EWTN, and she'll be joining us next week. But stay tuned right here to your EWTN radio station, of course, your local affiliate, as well as the website, EWTN.com, and then, of course, the TV network for all the latest and greatest interviews coming up on the March for Life and what's happening in this Respect Life month. Respect Life Sunday, next Sunday, January 18th, in the Catholic Church. But I hope to see you down there, and I do want to thank you for some great emails that you're sending me regarding those of you who are attending, and that's what we're looking for. We've got a number of reporters that are going to be out there, myself included, and so we're just taking ideas and we're sharing the love, basically, and hopefully one of us will be able to grab an interview with you and maybe your student group or your pro-life chapter. Whatever you're doing, either along the route, maybe up at the Supreme Court, maybe at the rally, you know, we're just taking names and kind of sifting through the different groups. And some really interesting developments. Michelle Johnson, who's the communications director for EWTN, of course, sent out an email yesterday. The Catholic Medical Association contacted the network and said they're going to be down there and going to be marching in the march with their white lab coats on. Now, hopefully, as Michelle and I were chatting online, hopefully they will be very well layered underneath their lab coats, because just having a lab coat on is not going to be enough, doctors, because it's going to be cold. It's January, right? Hopefully not as cold as last year, but some really neat efforts. And I've also been contacted, which is very, very encouraging, by a number of different young people from around the country who listen to the show, who listen to EWTN, saying, hey, we're going to be there. Can we come up? So it's just fun. So anyway, you can email me at ttamio@att.net. And then I will pass it on to Taylor, my producer with EWTN, who's lining up all the interviews. And then hopefully I'll see you down there, good Lord willing, 2 weeks from today. If you've never been, really, really, really think about it. I'm telling you, you will come away so motivated and so energized for another year of speaking the truth in love about the pro-life movement. Speaking of speaking about the truth in love, today on the program, my friend Lewis Brown and also Mike O'Day from my neck of the woods in Michigan, also planning to be at the March for Life, but they're very involved in helping us learn about the impact, speaking of all things life, of Obamacare on our country and especially on the Catholic Church and companies run by faithful Catholics and other Christians who do not want to support such things as birth control and, of course, abortifacients and sterilization and other things that are in direct opposition to their faith. So we'll be catching up with them, not only at the march, but today. And then also Dr. Pia DeSalini is joining us, our first interview with her for the new year. And I think Pia and I are going to be chatting about a number of different things. But I want to focus on something that is happening right now in the Archdiocese of Miami and give kudos and a big, you know, shot in the arm to Archbishop Wenske, who is being very, very strong, as he always is, but in particular with the decision that came down earlier this week in Florida approving same-sex marriage. There was a decision that was going back and forth, and now they're saying that same-sex, so-called same-sex marriage is legal. Well, the bishop was very strong, loving but strong, and made it very clear in a letter to all the employees in the Archdiocese of Miami that they had a responsibility, whether it is on the job, obviously, working for the Catholic Archdiocese, or whether it's in their personal Facebook pages or in their own personal contact outside of their jobs, that they represent the Catholic Church, basically 24/7. And he said, you need to be educated and you need to understand that you can't be doing anything that's contrary to church teaching. So many times in the church, we complain about priests not doing enough, about bishops not doing enough. So when we have someone who has been so clear about this issue, I think it's really important for us to say, thank you, we appreciate it, keep going, we're going to work with you to do what we can as a layperson to make a difference. And hopefully we're going to be having Archbishop Wenske on with us soon. There's also a really good statement from the Florida Conference of Catholic Bishops, and there's some terrific websites, if you're not aware of them, that the Conference of Catholic Bishops has put together regarding marriage. Marriage, Unique for a Reason, marriageuniqueforareason.org, and then For Your Marriage. Both of those have great information. They have a whole question and answer section regarding this whole discussion on the attempt to redefine marriage. So, just some thoughts off the top of my head as we move through this year with a lot of issues that are facing us as Catholics. And, of course, our prayers go out at this breaking story that's still developing overseas in the City of Lights in Paris, a horrible terrorist attack on a satirical offices of a satirical magazine that was doing some cartoons related to the faith of Islam. And these attackers showed up and opened fire, and in the end, 12 people were killed. Just a very, very, very sad story. And the Pope expressing sadness, offering prayers for the victims and the families, and also for the entire nation of France. So lots to discuss this morning. Hope you can stay tuned for the entire hour on EWTN on this Thursday, January 8th, 2015. Right now, let's get a look at that news and see what's happening in and around our world. Well, as we just mentioned, Pope Francis offering prayers this morning, especially for the victims of that deadly terrorist attack on the satirical review in Paris yesterday. Speaking during daily mass this morning at the Santa Marta residence at the Vatican, the Holy Father saying the terror attack in Paris brings to mind so much cruelty, human cruelty, so much terrorism, both isolated incidents and of state terrorism, asking of how much cruelty is man capable? Pope Francis going on to say, we pray in this mass for the victims, so many of them, and we pray also for the perpetrators, that the Lord might change their hearts. The Pope Francis, meanwhile, then sent a telegram expressing his condolences to the families of the victims of the terror attack yesterday, promising prayers for them, their loved ones, and the entire French people. The telegram signed by the Secretary of State of the Holy See, renewing the Holy Father's condemnation of that violence. Paris, remembering those lost in the attack. Many have gathered outside Notre Dame Cathedral and joined hands for a moment of silence this morning for those victims. The bells of the cathedral sounding for 10 minutes in honor of the victims. The president saying today will be a national day of mourning in the country. Paris police are looking for two brothers suspected of the attack that left, again, 12 people dead. French authorities, meanwhile, are holding 7 people in the investigation into the mass killing at the Paris newspaper. The French prime minister is urging, meanwhile, the media to stay out of the way of the investigation.
Several people have been questioned overnight. People have been taken into police custody. Let's not talk about this. I know there is lots of information in the press, on the internet. That must not be allowed to disrupt the work of the investigators.
Now, the teenager accused of driving the getaway car surrendered to police in northern France late yesterday. Meanwhile, as national correspondent Joe Gomez reports, French authorities say a policewoman has been killed and a city employee and seriously hurt after a shooting today in Paris.
Authorities say a man wearing a bulletproof vest opened fire with an automatic rifle in a southern Paris suburb this morning. The gunman is still on the run. Police say no link has yet been established between today's shootout and the deadly attack that killed 12 at a Paris newspaper yesterday. Paris police are looking for two brothers suspected of yesterday's attack at the offices of Charlie Hebdo magazine. No one has stepped forward to claim responsibility for the massacre. I'm Joe Gomez.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell saying terrorism is still a very dangerous threat to Americans. He made those comments in the wake of the attack in Paris, telling Fox News, ISIS is just as much of a problem as Al-Qaeda has always been.
It's pretty clear they're not a JV team, and when you see these random terrorist attacks around the world, like in Paris and in Boston a while back for us, it reminds us all that the terrorists are still out there. They want to kill us, and they want to kill us wherever they can find us.
McConnell adds the White House's refusal to refer to the attacks as radical Islam is wrong. He believes the president's approach toward terrorism is too light. The French president condemning Wednesday's attacks, calling them an appallingly coward example of assassination. The U.S.-led coalition continuing to expand, meanwhile, its air war against ISIS militants in Iraq and Syria. The Pentagon saying yesterday that coalition aircraft have actually dropped nearly 5,000 bombs and destroyed more than 3,000 targets since going on the attack last fall. American military commanders say the attacks have stopped the advance of ISIS forces in Iraq, disrupted their crude oil smuggling network, and slowed their ability to move on the ground. ISIS still controls broad stretches of territory in both Iraq and Syria. Congressional Republican leaders moving forward this week with a bill authorizing construction of the controversial Keystone XL oil pipeline. House Speaker John Boehner criticizing the threatened veto of the Keystone legislation.
The president essentially is telling the American people he really doesn't care what they think. Well, our commitment is to stand up for the American people and their priorities, and it's a commitment we will not break.
The Obama administration has the authority to approve or deny the pipeline. The Republican legislation seeking to bypass the administration's authority, supporters and critics differ greatly about economic benefits and environmental impacts. The families of two murdered New York Police Department officers are getting some financial help. The Stephen Stiller Tunnel to Towers Foundation announcing yesterday it had met its goal to raise more than $800,000 needed to pay off the mortgages of officers Rafael Ramos and Wei Zhen Liu. Officer Liu's bride of less than 3 months expressing her gratitude.
We would like to extend our greatest gratitude and appreciation to everyone who gave their generous contribution during this difficult time.
Former Mayor Rudy Giuliani donated $20,000 to the fund, calling members of the NYPD the top of the profession, a remark that elicited thunderous applause from the officers at the ceremony. Well, the coldest temperatures so far this winter bearing down on the East Coast from Washington, D.C. all the way up through New England. People in Philadelphia and New York are shivering in lows close to minus 20 degrees this morning, and even the nation's capital had sub-zero temps overnight. And some of your kids may want to play outside in this weather, but if they even think about it, the doctors say it can be dangerous, whether it's skating, sledding, or enjoying the snow. They say it's very important if they spend any time at all outside that they're dressed properly for these temperatures. Dr. Elaine Schulte at the Cleveland Clinic says winter weather basics are simply a must.
Everybody needs to protect their hands and feet, so gloves or mittens and warm boots are always appropriate. Kids should always wear a hat when they go outside and sometimes something to protect their face.
Now, Dr. Schulte says wearing a face mask will ensure your children's cheeks are protected from the elements. The American Academy of Pediatrics says dressing children in several thin layers will keep them warm but also dry. If kids start complaining that their fingers feel numb or are tingling, it could be a very early sign of frostbite and, of course, an obvious sign that it is time to head inside and get some hot chocolate. I think I'm going to turn into a big cup of tea because it's all I've been drinking all day long after my coffee in the morning. I don't know how many tea bags I've gone through because it's just so cold. Here in Michigan, the temperature this morning without the real feel or the wind chill was minus 3 when I went on the air at 8 o'clock Eastern time. Minus 3. I can't even talk about it. Anyway, we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those that find it are few. This verse from chapter 7 of Matthew's Gospel is one of the hard sayings of Jesus. Jesus couldn't be more clear, and yet we want to believe what the world says. Broad is the way to heaven, and almost everyone gets there. Narrow is the way to hell, and hardly anyone ends up there, maybe serial killers. This idea of universalism, that everyone will be saved because they are good people, is just the opposite of what our Lord is saying in the gospel. We can use this idea to justify our lack of evangelization. If everyone is going to heaven, why bother? But if Jesus is serious, it's time for us to become the witnesses we were created to be.
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile. 5% of your mobile plan price goes to a pro-life or Catholic charity at no additional cost to you. More information can be found at charitymobile.com. That's charitymobile.com.
Hi, I'm Peggy Stanton, and I'm inviting you to join me on Power from the Pews. When I interview the people who are engaged in remarkable ministries that are making a real difference in their parishes and the world. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Building the apostolate of the laity and leading in the new evangelization. Ave Maria Radio joins EWTN in spearheading the recovery of the American Catholic identity and equipping all Catholics to take co-responsibility for Christ's Church.
It's a Thursday morning, January 8th, 2015. Of course, in this month of January, especially as we get closer to the March for Life, the One Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church focusing on the life issues. We do this in October and, of course, in January as well, because of marking that horrible Supreme Court decision some 42 years ago, legalizing abortion through 9 months of pregnancy. So it's a mixed bag when you go down to Washington, because you are very encouraged by the amount of people that show up every single year in very difficult conditions. And you are also very encouraged by the vast majority of those attending who are young people who are the future of the pro-life movement in the church and beyond. But there's a lot of different issues that are facing us this year in the pro-life movement, especially the impact, which we're really going to see this year, of Obamacare, which we've seen in so many court cases to date already, some wins, some losses. But what does this mean for the average Catholic? What does it mean for companies? And that's why I wanted to bring some experts on this morning. And they're actually going to be also both at the March for Life. They're from Michigan, Lewis Brown and, of course, Mike O'Day, and they are with Christ Medicus Foundation. Good morning to both of you.
Morning, Teresa.
Morning, Teresa.
Morning, Mike.
Great to be with you, as
well.
Well,
thanks so much. I appreciate it. Lewis, let me go to you. Your biggest concerns looking at this impact of Obamacare as we move through 2015?
I think the biggest concern is kind of twofold. I think the first one is that you have millions of Catholic families and individuals, Catholic individuals across the country, that are looking, you know, a couple months away at the consequences of the individual mandate of the Affordable Care Act and saying, what do I do? You know, how do I, you know, make ensure that I have access to affordable health care while at the same time maintaining my conscience and, you know, advancing the gospel of life? And that's a big conundrum given, you know, the state of the state health, state and federal health care exchanges, as well as the state of the private individual insurance market.
Mike, how about you? What are your concerns?
Well, the three biggest threats to our, you know, freedom, I believe, in this country, you know, are, you know, number one, abortion, you know, always is on top of the list. You know, and the second, Lewis talked about, you know, health care conscience rights. And third, our religious liberty. And we have to restore these. And it reminds me of a phone call I just got the other day, and this was a doctor from Poland that's a big supporter of the Christ Medicus Foundation. And he just called me up to talk to me about the work the Christ Medicus Foundation is doing. And he said, Mike, I'm sure glad there's somebody out there doing this. Because he said, I saw this done in Poland. Mm. And it's why I left Poland and came to the United States, where was for, you know, the freedom you have in this country. But he says the same thing is happening to the United States now that happened in Poland. And I think he's right on target.
I think so, too, because actually I was in Poland, and they were telling me the same thing. I was there 2 years ago for a book tour, and they were telling me the same thing. A lot of the Catholic journalists that I met with were saying that you better be careful in the United States because you're going the way that we went, and they were very, very serious about it. Let me put out the phone number if anyone has a question, 877-573-7825. We have had a few victory those victories though, Lewis and Mike. For example, we had the Michigan case of the Autotram, the company out of Western Michigan that just won a case regarding Obamacare and the HHS mandate. How are we doing in those areas in terms of the court cases? And Lewis, I'll go to you first.
Sure, I think those are looking really good. I think the Hobby Lobby decision, is very good for a lot of privately held corporations that are Christian and or Catholic and have these religious liberty concerns. I think the harder part will be to figure out. The harder part will be the way in which the district courts, the federal district courts, and the circuit courts interpret that Supreme Court decision and ensuring that battle. I mean, that's the Hobby Lobby decision is great, but the battle about how to interpret it, it's not over. If you look at Brown versus Board of Education, mm-hmm. that was an important decision, but it took time for the district and the circuit courts to figure out, okay, what does this mean? And so we have to continue that fight to ensure that the district, these federal district courts that actually have these court cases are doing this the right way, that holds true to the Constitution and to the Religious Freedom Restoration Act.
Mike, I think you and I talked about this a few years ago when they were first discussing the HHS mandate and Obamacare and the fallout. Now, with the new Congress and with the majority GOP and the promises that we hear from McConnell and Boehner and others saying that they're going to dismantle Obamacare, is that even possible, in your opinion?
Well, in my opinion, it's impossible. And I sure wish they'd stop saying they're going to repeal, you know, Obamacare. Because they could move forward and do some things, you know, that would protect, you know, our freedom in health care. And in my opinion, they've wasted years, you know, just saying, you know, we're going to repeal Obamacare. I think there's a different thinking a little bit in Washington right now. I sure hope so. But they got to start providing some specific legislation that we can start chipping away at this, you know, huge monster. And the other thing I want to just comment on regarding, you know, Obamacare and the legislation, I do agree that we've had some, you know, great victories in court cases, but I still don't believe the court's going to solve this. I think they can provide momentum, but we got this accommodation hanging over our head, and nobody knows for sure what's going to happen there, but it's sure leaning towards even the courts are thinking, well, the accommodation is a good solution, and it's no solution whatsoever because every employer is still going to have to provide, contraception and chemical abortion. Make it available to their employees. So I'm not as excited about the litigation as other people are, and I'm very disappointed that everybody kind of, you know, laid everything on the litigation and forgot about fighting mm-hmm. for a good, solid health care conscience rights that we had in legislation. And because there wasn't enough uprising, they never voted on legislation that would pass in the House. And, of course, the people in Washington say, well, it never passed in the Senate. Well, the first time this legislation was brought up, you know, in the last Congress, it only missed by 3 votes. And I'm saying we're losing on this because we don't have an uprising from, you know, the American people that we want freedom in health care.
Why do you think that is? And, Lewis, I'll go back to you. Why isn't there an uprising? And I think there is an uprising in certain groups, in certain pro-life groups who have been really active in speaking out, yourself included. But why isn't there a general uprising? Are people just overwhelmed? They don't understand it? They're not hearing about it? What is it?
Right. I think it's a couple things. And I think Mike makes a good point. And it's kind of the message that we have as the Christ Medicus Foundation. If you look at Brown versus Board of Education, there's a lot of lessons that we as a pro-life movement and as a church can learn about advancing human rights from the civil rights movement. The lesson from all that happened with Brown v. Board and everything else that occurred thereafter, and that the lesson for us as Catholics and the lesson for us as lovers of human rights as a pro-life movement, is that we have to do all three. And so all three meaning we have to do legislation. We have to do the lobbying that's required with the legislation. We have to be engaged in the political process to make sure that we're electing officials that witness to the dignity of all human beings from conception to natural death. And then, you know, finally, we have to ensure that we're actually voting. And so we can't just say, oh, well, it's the courts. you know, the court system will take care of it, and we have this decision, and that's fine, and we can leave it alone. We can't just say that, oh, well, we have elected, you know, a pro-life Congress, pro-life Senate, and everything's fine, you know, and then say, you know, I don't have to vote. We can't leave the litigation process alone. We have to do all three, you know, legislation, the lobbying behind it, the litigation, and the electoral process, and it's a constant battle. We can't let up, and I think people just feel we have a false sense of complacency, maybe because we had one good Supreme Court decision in a pro-life House and a Senate, but this is a temporary thing. We have to keep on going.
And I also think education, well, I guess that falls in the lines of all three points that you made, legislation, lobbying, and voting. But education, because, and Mike, I'll go back to you, regarding the accommodation, most people heard about an accommodation and they automatically think that everything is okay because there's an accommodation. They're not looking deeper. They're reacting to sound bites, and they're not listening for more information, let's say, primarily on Catholic or other solid Christian outlets that are explaining this in detail. They hear, oh, well, there's been an accommodation, so everything's fine.
Well, you're absolutely right, Teresa. And there's one other area, and I think Lewis just forgot, you know, about this part, but which is extremely important, and it's what the work the Christ Medicus Foundation has been doing for years, and that's providing alternatives in the marketplace.
Yeah. Let's talk about that when we come back, because we have to go to a break. But let's also open up the phone lines to 877-573-7825 as we move toward the March for Life and Respect Life Sunday, talking about the impacts of Obamacare with Lewis Brown and Mike O'Day. We'll be right back. 877-573-7825. It's a Thursday morning. You're listening to EWTN. We'll be right back.
He was sentenced to life in prison, yet behind bars he found freedom. Freedom in Christ. Tom Naimi was eventually set free after serving 18 years for his crimes, but it was while in prison he found his call to evangelize. Blessed by the Holy Spirit during baptism, each of us are given a charism or two that we can use to bring others to Christ. Today, Tom Naimi preaches and teaches Scripture. All of us have the ability to evangelize. I consider myself a communication evangelist. Perhaps you have the gift of music, art, intercessory prayer, writing, or serving the poor. Whatever your talent or charism is, it can be used to teach others. We are called as Christians to learn the faith, teach the faith, and use our God-given talents to bring others to the faith. So once you proclaim Christ as your Savior, get ready to share the proclamation with others and find your way to evangelize today. This has been a Christ Center communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communication evangelist.
Republicans, Democrats, no matter which political party is in office, there are always investment opportunities to be found. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds won't compromise the moral beliefs of its investors. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. The portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and moral values. Call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
28 minutes past the hour. It's a Thursday. EWTN, Catholic Connection, 877-573-7825, talking about this new year, 2015. We were expecting to see really the full fallout impact of Obamacare. Talking with two experts on the topic, our friends who are from my neck of the woods in southeastern Michigan. You'll also see them probably at the March for Life, a number of different events, Lewis Brown and Mike O'Day, and they are from the Christ Medicus Foundation. Mike, you wanted to mention some of the options that are available for people, and then we've got some calls coming in. So I'll let you address what you were talking about before the break, and then we'll take, Chris just called in from Akron, we'll take his call up next. But go ahead, I wanted to let you finish your thought that we got
into. The first is actually finding a way in the marketplace, and Cardinal Burke addressed this at the CMA conference. you know, we got to have new ways of providing good, solid Catholic health care. Now, fortunately, Christ Medicus Foundation now has, you know, the CMF Curo Healthcare Sharing Program. And, Therese, that's, you know, to me is a miracle that this has happened, now that we're able to actually have a Catholic experience with our, you know, evangelical brothers and sisters to provide individuals, independent contractors, and self-employed, you know, people an opportunity to be part of a healthcare sharing ministry where members come together and pay one another's medical needs. I'm convinced this is the beginning of a great opportunity to evangelize in healthcare. And the other area that needs to be more work on is developing a whole network of Catholic medical centers that are totally consistent with Catholic teaching. And I know you're familiar now with what's happening in Ann Arbor with Emmaus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there's also this marvelous you know, program that's coming from the even Italy. It was the St. Padre Pio mm-hmm. initiative. And we'd be very excited to tell you more about that in the future. But it's developing, you know, a solid network of Catholic hospitals and clinics that physicians can practice their faith in. And these are things we can do now, and we've got to move forward, and we've got to change so we can provide good Catholic health care to people that want good, faithful care now.
Right. All right, let's go to the phones. Chris has a similar question along those lines. He's calling in from Akron, Ohio, on line one. Hi, Chris. Good morning. Happy New Year.
Hi, you guys. Happy New Year. The thing that I'm wondering is, you were mentioning the different approaches to try and take on the Obamacare and the HHS mandate. I'm wondering about some kind of a campaign. You know how the media is not ever going to present our case of religious liberty. And so my question is, I heard something earlier this morning about someone dealing with the pro-life issue and using boards to, you know, that people see while they're driving on the highways and that, and mm-hmm. saying things like the heart beats at 18 days and this kind of thing, and that it's changing minds. What about doing some kind of campaign like that where we spell it out as to exactly what this sinister administration is doing?
So are you talking about, just let me ask Krista, if you don't mind, are you talking about a media campaign, or are you talking about a campaign on the streets, a combination of both? What are you thinking?
I would say a combination of both, but a media campaign where we can't, we're roaring in numbers too big to ignore, and so that they see point blank how this is affecting others that are, you know, serious about their faith and know about it, because there is just way too many Catholics and Christians that are asleep at the wheel. They do not know what's going on.
Right. Chris, appreciate it. Okay, great questions. And Lewis, I'll go to you first for your response to Chris's
Sure. I think he makes a good point, and I think that's partially why, you know, what we're trying to do with what Mike and I are trying to do with Christ Medicus Foundation and with CMF Curo. It's just really spread the word out there as much as we can on radio, on television, and through different, you know, formal and informal Catholic networks. I think on some level he's correct that just a lot of folks, there's just a lot of questions about religious liberty and healthcare right now. And Mike O'Day has really been, as someone, you know, I've worked on this in my own, I'm a young Catholic, I've worked on this in my own capacity when I worked for the Maryland Catholic Conference and when I worked mm-hmm. for Congressman Dan Lunger on Capitol Hill, been around a lot of pro-life work. And the beauty of what Mike has done has really been a Paul Revere on a lot of this stuff, but we need to continue to do that, you know, and that's part of our earlier conversation, that we have to start really breaking through to a lot of Catholics in the pew to explain what's going on, because the problem is, if you look at the history of where this stuff, where all of this goes on issues of religious liberty, it just goes and goes and goes, and it's all bad. And we have to, you know, I don't want to be a Chicken Little, but we can't, it's only going to get worse unless mm-hmm. we break through the critical mass of your you know, your daily average, you know, Joe Schmo Catholics faithfully going to Mass on Sunday, who really and really educating them on the state of where this is, because it's not just, on some level, it's not just health care, but this is going to move into issues of marriage as well, and it's not going to be pretty.
Yeah, well, it already has moved into issue of marriage, if you look at it. And unfortunately, there are a number of people who call themselves Catholics who have been promoting and working on and attacking other Catholics who are trying to uphold the teachings, whether they be on life or marriage. Okay, let's go over to Jack calling from Massachusetts on line three. Real quickly, we only have about 3 minutes left. Hi, Jack. What's your question?
Yes, the Obamacare. Why was it created? Does it have anything to do with the illegal aliens, the tens of millions of illegal aliens that are going to need health care? And so Obamacare is designed to foot the bill for these tens of millions of illegal aliens and their offspring that are flooding this country?
Okay, well, let's get a response. Why do you think Obamacare was established? And, Mike, I'll go to you first.
Obamacare was established because the private industry already made it possible to put a program together like this. The American people have been so far away from their health care because they all had real rich plans, and all they wanted was everything they could get and didn't want to pay for it. That sounds kind of harsh, but that's what happened, and Obama came in, and he has just used this to complete his socialist agenda, and he had the power to do it, and he had the Congress to do it in. That's why we got it.
Okay, and Lewis, real quickly, we have about a minute and a half left.
I think there are aspects of Obamacare that came out of an appropriate desire to want to provide access to health care for a lot of different people, but it was just done horribly wrong in a way that moves this country in the wrong direction, in a way that separates people from the relationship with their doctor, the relationship with God, you know, obviously with the religious liberty concerns. And so there was some, you know, there was some ill intent, there was some good intent, but it's you know, all of the effects have been disastrous.
But you don't think, and Lewis, I'll let you wrap up, you don't think this is going to be repealed, because as Mike was saying earlier, once you get something in place in D.C., I mean, it's very difficult to start, you know, picking away at it.
Right. I think unless there's unless you have a president in the White House in 2016 that is pro-life and that is against the Affordable Care Act, I think it's highly unlikely that it gets repealed. I think we have to dismantle the parts that are threats to life and threats to religious liberty, you know, and work within the confines of what we have for now. That's the pragmatic, prudential way to go forward.
All right, gentlemen, thanks so much, Lewis Brown and also Mike O'Day, talking to us from Michigan this morning, the Christ Medicus Foundation, ChristMedicus.org for more information. Again, they're both going to be in Washington. Hopefully we can grab them at the March for Life and get more detail. But there's information in their website regarding options and giving you the latest details regarding this whole situation with Obamacare and the impact it's going to have. ChristMedicus.org. And we talk with our moral theologian, Dr. Pia Desilenny, up next, and you as well. Appreciate your phone calls at 877-573-7825 on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We'll be right back. Wondering how annuities might fit into your retirement plan? Looking for good, unbiased information? Well, don't trust just anyone. Let Reno Fertitta help you get the information you need. Retirement specialist Reno Fertitta can help you understand your choices so you can make an informed one. Get his free article titled Retirement Planning with Annuities. To learn how, visit www.securemyfunds.com or call Reno directly at 888-255-1831. That's 888-255-1831.
What makes Advanced Dentistry Center unique? While all dentists preach comfort, Dr. Mahdi uses laser technology with many of his patients. The laser's precise work allows for faster healing on periodontal pockets and root canals while diminishing the risk for bacteria to linger, giving you and your family the results you want. Here's Dr. Mahdi.
Using laser for treating gum disease will reduce your chance of needing further treatment, like advanced gum surgeries, and also will increase your chance of saving your teeth for the rest of your life.
And Advanced Dentistry Center is one of the few places in the state that has it. Laser can also fix most cavities without a local anesthetic or shot. Learn about their services and get testimonials at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Located at 13 Mile and Telegraph. That's AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Or call 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. Advanced Dentistry Center is a general practice who provides the most up-to-date treatments to help you look and feel your best.
Today's programming on Ave Maria Radio is made possible in part by our day sponsor, 4000babies.com. 4,000 babies die every day from abortion. 90% of mothers choose life after seeing their baby with ultrasound. Community pregnancy clinics saved 1,211 babies last year with just free ultrasounds. You can help save babies. Visit 4000babies.com.
Bert Gezzi, author of Voices of the Saints. Today, Bert, let's talk about St. John de Brebeuf, whose feast day we celebrate on October the 19th.
I've never known anybody like this man, like John de Brebeuf. He was an extraordinary person, handsome, tall, competent, intelligent, gifted, and yet completely selfless. He gave his whole life to take the gospel to the Huron in Quebec after 1625. And he was also afflicted with tuberculosis at the same time. So here he is, an ill man, bright, competent, brilliant, giving his whole life to bring the gospel to men he called savages.
What an example.
An example, really. It was very hard because he didn't know the language. He had a lot of work to do. But he did it with that great dedication, wrote catechisms to help them, got the gospel in their language. And he tried to invite other Jesuits to come with him. Here's what he said to them in a letter. Instead of being a great theologian, as you may be in France, you must reckon on being here a humble scholar. The Huron language will be your St. Thomas and your Aristotle. Glib as you are, you must decide for a long time to be mute among the barbarians. Without exaggeration, you'll pass 6 months of winter in almost continual discomfort. Excessive cold, smoke, the annoyance of the Indian who will surround your fireplace from morning till evening looking for food. Add to all this that our lives depend upon a single thread. Your cabin might burn down at any moment, or a malcontent may cleave your head open because you cannot make it rain. In 1649, Iroquois attacked the Huron village where John lived, and they brutally martyred him and all of his converts and companions. Unimaginable suffering. They stripped their flesh. They baptized them in boiling water. They cut out their hearts and ate them, trying to capture their strength. I'm really timid about martyrdom myself, but at least I say his message to me is, give yourself as fully to the call that Christ gives you, and whatever happens is in God's hands.
St. John de Brebeuf, whose feast day we celebrate on October 19th. That's Bert Gezzi, author of Voices of the Saints.
Minutes past the hour. It's a Thursday morning. Catholic Connection on EWTN 877-573-7825 to appreciate your phone calls. Also appreciate the great work of moral theologian Dr. Pia De Seleni, who comments on things in the culture and, of course, all things Catholic. Well, Happy New Year!
Happy New Year to you, too.
How are you?
I am good. Right now I'm in Denver. I started a new job in December as Associate Dean for the Augustine Institute there at Orange County campus. So I'm out here. It's quite fun. We're interviewing people for scholarships for next year. And I spent the evening beefing myself up with going through the applications. And I'm really impressed and humbled. I'm not sure my application would have looked this good when I was starting graduate school. It's fun. So
does it require you to move to Denver? Are you still able to work out of Seattle, or how does that happen?
We're transferring to Orange County because I'm going to be the associate dean of the Orange County campus at Christ Cathedral.
Wow!
So and the Diocese of Orange has welcomed the Augustine Institute along with several other Catholic organizations like EWTN, Immaculate Heart Radio, the Machis Institute with Bob Spitzer. Quite a lot of things happening.
So then you'll be dealing with a lot more sunshine and a lot less rain, right?
Oh, I'm loving the sunshine. I got to tell you, the day before I came to Denver, I was walking on the beach and it was 70 degrees.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Really appreciate that, Pia. It's -3 in Michigan this morning, for crying out loud.
You know you can always come visit.
I know. That's true. Very true. Well, congratulations. That's great. And what great work the Augustine Institute is doing. I just finished back in the late fall taping some of their segments for the new series that's coming out, actually, Valentine's weekend, called Beloved, part of their whole Symbolon program. So that's going to be really exciting. We're going to have Dr. Shrey on to talk about that. And that's to counteract, of course, some of the horrible things that are happening with the release of the movie 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, and I also did some videos of them on that. And it's also, we just want to offer a very constructive conversation about marriage. We've been talking so much about what marriage isn't, it's kind of hard to know what marriage is. And so we want to offer something constructive that can be used in marriage prep programs, that can be used as marriage enrichment, just general education. What is marriage? Why is this so great? Because right now it's kind of hard to talk sometimes with all the fights about it.
Right.
You know, this is something beautiful, and not only is it beautiful, but it's actually essential for humanity, and not from, just from the perspective of, oh, how, you know, this is how babies are born, but no, this is how we become fully human. And I just did a study guide, finished a study guide that we're publishing on John Paul II's letter to families, and in there he talks about the fact, you know, God himself chose the family as he made them, and revealed himself in a family. And if God himself can say, this is, the family is so special, so unique, but this is where I want to reveal myself to humanity. And what does that tell us about the importance of the family? And I think, you know, on a natural level, we'll look at a family that's dysfunctional or, you know, tragic things with kids. You know, when kids end up in foster care and so forth, and you say, ah, that shouldn't be. Well, it's because we all intuitively expect more from the family. Intuitively, we all think that the family should be more. So anyway, it's just, it's a constructive program, and, you know, including excellent experts like yourself, just to get the word out. And I also to make people aware of the fact that this isn't one voice. It's not just the Augustine Institute. Here's all these experts that are able to articulate this, able to teach about it, talk about it. And I think that's one of the things that I really like about the Augustine Institute, is that it's not just one voice.
Yeah.
It's a whole course of voices, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's neat because they get really different perspectives. For example, they allowed me, and Dr. Shree encouraged me really to have some fun with my segments. And I actually did my taping, most of it, in the kitchen of one of the big donors of the Augustine Institute. They have a beautiful home in Denver. And I made spaghetti sauce, and I talked about marriage is a lot like spaghetti sauce, to give like an analogy in terms of, we each come to the plate in marriage, and you know this, being a wife, with our own ingredients. And if we get very determined and say, no, my recipe is the only recipe, and only my ingredients are going in, and it's my way or the highway, which actually my husband and I did. We had a huge fight when we were first married over who was making the spaghetti sauce and how to make it. That's very true.
Oh, we still joke about spaghetti sauce in our home. It's the Irish version, my husband, or the Italian version,
yours. But to help people understand exactly what you said, what marriage is and how beautiful it is, I think that is the problem. We haven't been taught what it is.
No. And the other thing is, we have generations of people who haven't experienced it. I mean, my parents divorced when I was young. So, you know, I think I've had decent formation, but that's not the same thing as living in it and experiencing it. And so when you don't even experience it on a natural level, forget, you know, the additional study that I've done and so forth, it's really challenging. And so we're, you know, the church has said repeatedly that the first level of marriage prep is when a child is born into a family. That is where you learn marriage prep, by seeing people function, God willing, in a healthy family. And that's not happening for so many people. I mean, our rates of illegitimacy or children born to single moms is getting close to 50% in the United States. It's 70% for some segments of the population. Those are a lot of people that are growing up without the experience of the family. And then we're saying, hey, turn around and have a family. That's really challenging.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, though, isn't it? I know you have addressed this before, that if we look at our culture and we look at some of the messages, if we really kind of step back and see what they're trying to say, even with shows, reality shows that are, you know, very commercial and based on materialism, for example, the show about the four weddings and the show about Say Yes to the Dress and other things, what is the bottom line? What is the underlying message that deep down people still want? That natural beauty in a marriage, even if they don't really quite understand how to explain it, there's still something there in the core of our being, don't you think?
I do, absolutely, and I've done a lot of work with Justina McCaffrey, who is she designs haute couture wedding dresses. She's also a friend of mine, and this is, you know, in the wedding business, this is what she sees, is people ultimately desiring something beautiful, something wonderful. And, in fact, I met her at a World Youth Day. We were both speaking, and she was speaking to this specific aspect of beauty. And there is something that people want. I mean, the problem is that they just don't know how to get there. And it's becoming increasingly difficult when the surrounding secular culture doesn't give you the tools and, in fact, leads you off the path.
Well, but I think that's what's great about these different programs that are out there and the videos, because they're really, of course, I'm old, I'm still calling it video. We don't even call it video anymore. I still call tape recorders or digital recorders tape recorders. That's how long I've been around. But the idea that you can have something tangible and you can sit there and watch it, and the production is really good, like, you know, some of the new shows that we're doing in EW10, like the Catholic View for Women and what we're trying to do with that. So you could sit down and watch it and just sit there, and even if you do it individually, if you do it as a group. I like the fact that you were able to do this in a parish setting, though, where you can have a discussion group around it.
Right, and so the series are available online. I mean, you can buy them in a DVD format, but they're also available in an online platform. So a parish can subscribe, and I've been at parishes. I just walk in and say, they've got little cards in the pews, and there's like a little code, and that means everybody in the parish can log on any internet-enabled device, basically, that can watch videos. So your smartphone, your tablet, your iPad, your computer, whatever it is, log in and watch it. And, you know, we have our confirmation program like that. It's the Y Disciple and Symbolon is like that. And we're going to be announcing a bigger project later in the year just to make all of these resources available in an online platform.
All right, let's take a quick break. We're talking now. Do I have to call you Dr. Dean? Or Dean Doctor?
Oh,
what's it, like, you need any more alphabet soup after your name, for crying out loud?
No, I don't. If you call me Dr. Dean, people are going to think my name is Dean.
Well, congratulations. That's great, though. Awesome, awesome,
thank
awesome.
You.
877-573-7825 if you have a question for Pia De Seleni. Of course, in a wonderful, some news this morning. I already heard about that, but I actually forgot because of the holidays and everything. But now serving as a dean with the Augustine Institute and, of course, her great work online. You can find her still at moraltheologian.com or drpiadeseleni.com. We'll be right back to wrap up on a Thursday morning.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by catholicbusinesspages.com. Your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
I think I'm pregnant.
Really? What are you going to do?
What choice do I have?
She has a choice. It's ICUDetroit.com. Image clear ultrasound or ICU in the womb. We bring hope to women in need. And where there's hope, there are life-affirming choices. We are Michigan's first mobile ultrasound unit, servicing the Detroit metro area, providing free pregnancy tests, ultrasounds, and non-judgmental peer counseling. All services and care take place in our spacious mobile unit, which has a private exam room with a state-of-the-art 3D ultrasound and a separate lounge area for family or friends. If your church, congregation, or youth group is interested in learning more about this ministry, please call 248-620-5353 or visit us at ICUDetroit.com. That's the letters ICUDetroit.com or 248-620-5353. ICUDetroit.com.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by the St. Gregory Retreat Center, a fully licensed and internationally accredited alternative to traditional drug and alcohol treatment. This model has utilized the latest techniques based on the most current scientific research. More information about the St. Gregory Retreat Center is available at 888-778-5833. That's 888-778-5833.
Pia De Seleni, PiaDeSeleni.com. She's a moral theologian and a cultural analyst, and she's served in many capacities, working with Rome in a variety of areas, and also now, of course, working directly with the wonderful Augustine Institute. And the great thing, as Pia said, about the Augustine Institute is it incorporates so many different people, so many different types of teachers, including myself, regarding the Catholic faith, and a number of different personalities from EW10, in addition to yours truly, are featured in their various videos, including Jeanette Bankovic and Ralph Martin and Patrick Coffin from Catholic Answers. So it's just a really neat variety of different people giving their perspective on all things Catholic. This whole marriage issue, though, I think is so, so important, and there's so many opportunities for us to even bring this up in general conversation, especially when we know that a lot of people are going to be talking at the water cooler, at the coffee shop, about the release of 50 Shades of Grey in a couple of weeks.
You know, no, this is important. And, you know, the release of that movie, too, I think is so cynical.
I know.
The release of movie, you know, movies are released at midnight on Thursday, right? This is being released on Valentine's Day.
I know.
And it's just so cynical. And someone was pointing out, I have not read the book, but as somebody that did read the book pointed out that the woman involved does not even really act as an adult. She has to be taught how to use a computer. She has expressions and reactions that are more consistent with a 12-year-old, which just makes all of this even more disturbing. This is an idea of womanhood or femininity that is being embraced by so many women. I mean, it's mind-boggling, and it really shows us that we have our work cut out for us.
Yeah, what is it, though, Pia? Because if you look at the main characters, you have Anastasia Steele and Christian Grey, and Anastasia, as you said, is this very mousy type of a very shy college student, and also in this book, which a lot of people don't even realize, there's three books now, but she is stalked by Christian Grey. She is abused, and he, in certain scenes, oh, I haven't read the book either. I've read excerpts and a lot of experts' comments on it, especially psychologists who've weighed in on this. There are scenes in the book where he forces her to drink alcohol before they have relations, and so I'm thinking, okay, and women are gobbling this stuff up. Women who call themselves feminists. What is it?
I think because we don't have... we don't have, in a secular culture, I don't believe we have an authentic idea of who a woman is. And so these women are settling for less. And remember, where do you learn this? Where do you first get these messages? Back in the family. And if someone hasn't been, maybe they didn't hear bad messages, but if they haven't been built up in the family, if they haven't been strengthened, then, you know, outside influences can kind of just swoop in. And, you know, the message wherever you go is this is what you should be doing as a woman, which is really, really frightening.
But where are the feminists, the radical feminists especially on this? Where are the ones who are always screaming and yelling about being abused and rightfully so in many cases in terms of speaking about abuse and whatnot? But in this case, it's like anything goes. I don't get that.
Well, because I think your second wave of feminism, I mean, your first wave of feminism was talking about rights. You know, the right to vote and being seen as equal in society, having an equal role in society. The second wave it took the discussion of rights and it kind of shifted it to sexual liberties.
All about sex, unfortunately. That's it. Pia, we're out of time. Thanks so much. Good to talk to you in this new year. And we'll talk to you folks tomorrow on a Friday. Make it a good day.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection as Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
The following is a message brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
In the book of 2 Kings, the commander of a Gentile army, Naaman, had leprosy. It took many people to lead to a healing that only God could provide. First, a Jewish slave girl told Naaman's wife about the Jewish prophet Elisha. The wife told Naaman, who told his king, who contacted the king of Israel, who then contacted Elisha. Finally, when Naaman visited Elisha, his servants pleaded with him to follow Elisha's instructions to wash 7 times in the Jordan River. After doing so, Naaman was cured and declared, "There was no God in all the earth except in Israel." How powerful a statement of faith can be, whether from an army commander cured of disease or his wife or his servants. We are also called to share our faith and help others come to new life, even if we don't see the final result. To learn more about how God leads people to new life, visit the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan at cbsmich.org or find us on Facebook.
Wondering how annuities might fit into your retirement plan? Looking for good, unbiased information? Well, don't trust just anyone. Let Reno Frazetta help you get the information you need. Retirement specialist Reno Frazetta can help you understand your choices so you can make an informed one. Get his free article titled Retirement Planning with Annuities to learn how